You're joining us for another episode of College Talks and More, brought to you by MyBookCart.com. This series brings together students, parents, and professionals sharing their voices on a variety of college and life topics.
It's all about students, parents, and all of our listeners finding the information, encouragement, and thrive they need for a successful college and life experience.
Welcome to College Talks and More with your hosts, Hannah
and Carrie.
Today on our show, we have with us the host of The Sully Show, Matt O'Sullivan. He is a man of many talents. He works in everything from broadcasting, on-air talent, voiceover work, editing, blogging, you name it. He is with us today to discuss working in the entertainment industry.
I really enjoy the humor on your show, especially hearing who the dumbass of the week is. I would think that in today's day and age, with so many people doing podcasts, that it would be hard to have a successful show. I can't wait for Matt to tell us all about it. Matt, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us about your college and career background?
Wow. Okay. So my name is Matt O'Sullivan.
Wow. My college. Oh, my gosh. I was on the 10-year plan. I can honestly say that I was not ready for college at all. You know, right out of high school, you're like, hey, let's go to college. Everybody else is going to college. And I went, okay, sure. College, yay, more school after we just finished school. So I wasn't really into it, so to speak, when I first started. And then life just kind of got in the way. You know, you started working, then I moved from New York up to Connecticut. And it's interesting now because there was a point in time where I went into the Coast Guard and then nothing. I didn't go back to school, didn't do anything. I was just working, work, work, work. And unfortunately, I had gotten laid off for 8 years, 8 straight years. And that kind of got me back into, okay, you know what? I'm laid off. Let me go back to school. I went to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. And from there, I couldn't find a job. I couldn't get anything. So I went, all right, you know what? I'm going to finish my college career. Let's go get my associates. Great, get a degree. Still couldn't get a job. Couldn't find anything. And unfortunately, the recession hit. So that put a huge damper on things. So I went, okay, I'm going to go back to school again. I get my bachelor's in communications and media production. And still couldn't find a job. It was crazy. Absolutely crazy. Yeah, I mean, life in a nutshell. Life is crazy.
That sounds
tough. It was a real pain in the neck, I'm not gonna lie. You're going through things and you're saying to yourself, all right, I'm gonna do my resume, I'm gonna put my demo together, I'm gonna get everything squared away, and I'm gonna go out, and you're looking for a job full time right out of college or during college, and you're getting turned down left and right. Nope. Sorry. No experience. You don't have enough experience. Sorry. We chose somebody else that fits more of our criteria. I've gotten pretty much every bit of denial letter of, hey, we're going to have you interview. No, we're not, that you can think of. And it's a lot from a lot of the local broadcasting companies, too. And one of the things that I learned was, for me, and I'm sure this is, you know, and this is not to like say, hey guys, that this just doesn't work. It's not. It does work. Things, you work your butt off, you can get whatever you want. I learned through talking with people in the industry that for what I do, I'm too creative. You laugh. The thing is, when it comes to, and this is just an example of what I went through. I have a lot of friends that work for ESPN, both in production and outside of production. And one of them is a post-production editor, nicest guy. He said, yeah, send me your stuff. Send me your video. Send me your audio. Send me what you've got. And I did.
And the next night I saw him and he said to me, listen, you are amazing at what you do, but you're too creative. You will never be able to work at ESPN. And I went, why? Because you think outside of the box. You're too creative. You would not fit in the, here's the mold, just do it. And I said to myself, how is that a thing? You know? Because especially if you're trying to get experience into the broadcasting world, you want to do internships. You want to do these things. You want to learn from the best. And that's what they were telling me. I'm too creative. And I went, all right, fine. I'm going to do stuff on my own. See you later. And here I am doing stuff on my own. I think I would rather be my own boss than work for the man. You know? Damn the man. Save the empire. Man.
So you said that you were briefly in the Coast Guard.
I was, yes.
What made you decide to leave?
Money. I didn't have a good job. So when it came to joining the Coast Guard, it was kind of one of those big decisions that I made on my own. You got a lot of people out of college, and I had just moved to Connecticut. So for me, I didn't know anybody. I didn't care. I left my home. I left my friends. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to join the Coast Guard. Maybe I can get enough money to go to school. So that was my original thought on it. What happened was while I was there, I want to say I was about a month and a half in. I was almost done, like almost done boot camp. And I had gotten sick. Now, a lot of people will automatically think conspiracy theory. Oh, you know, they drugged you. They did whatever. Like, we've heard the stories. We know. But I had actually gotten sick in the middle of February where I developed bronchitis with bronchial spasms. It got so bad. And for me, when I get sick, and this is even before COVID-19 and all this other bull crap going on, when I get sick, I don't really feel symptoms. So even though I had the bronchitis, I had no idea. I had no idea that I had the bronchitis. Shortness of breath, yes, but that was about it. But it took one of the, we were doing PT training, which is physical training for those that are, you know, going, hey, what's PT mean in the military? That's what it means, physical training. Push-ups, sit-ups, that kind type of stuff. Well, I had passed out. I'd stopped breathing. So for me, they did whatever they had to do. All of a sudden, I woke up and I was on the ground going, what the hell just happened? And that's when they brought me to the hospital. They did tests on me. They showed that the bronchitis was so bad that the passageway in your left lung, it actually swelled shut, which is what caused me to go down and then get woken up later. So from there, because they didn't want me to get worse, they had to send me home. Because if I get bronchitis with bronchial spasms again, I can actually develop asthma. I'm an athlete. I don't do asthma. I love running. I love, you know, I'm a little overweight now, but that's besides the point. I'm not fat. I'm just overweight.
Yeah.
I'm not in shape. I'm a dad now. So, you know, that the dad bod is there. But that scared me. And they said, well, you can either stay here another week or two and get better and then start training all over again. I'm like, no. I'm halfway through this. That's not happening. I'd rather go home. And they gave me my discharge papers and they sent me home on a medical discharge. So here I was back into the grind of figuring out what the hell I'm going to do with my life. And it's just crazy.
Was it a hard transition after the Coast Guard and after your layoff to go back to college and like do college life at that point?
Not really. I would say it was a little more difficult when I first got out of the Coast Guard, because back in 2000, when I got discharged, we had a couple of big giant blizzards that came in March. So you know, nobody was going anywhere. But then fast forward, I went back to school and then 9/11 hit. Now, the way things work in the military is even though you get discharged, you have to be out a certain amount of time before they can call you back up. So for me, for someone who was born and raised in New York, when 9/11 hit, that hit me hard. You know, both friends, family, my city got destroyed, you know, kind of like with the Boston bombing, Bostonians, that hit them hard. It's very similar to that. Worse outcomes, but still very similar. And I was ready. I'm like, call me up. Let's go. Like, my New Yorker just took over. I'm like, I'm ready for revenge. Just call me up. I'm there. Let's do it. I never got a letter, never got a call, nothing. So luckily, I was able to go back to school. But at the same time, it was still in my brain going, you know, maybe I should go back. Maybe I should go back. They, you know, they need me right now. They need me. They really didn't. I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. I was 20 years old when it happened, almost 21. So for me, being the dumb kid that I was, I'm like, let's do this. I got rage. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to. So at first, yeah, getting back into the job market and then back into school, I don't think it was really too difficult for me. I think a lot of people out there that have been in the military longer have seen more things than I might have had. That might affect them a little bit harder, too. Can't really speak for them, though.
After you got your degree at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, did you take any time off before attending Naugatuck Valley Community College to get your associate's degree in media production?
A year. I took a year off. And that was mostly because I was starting things new after Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I had gotten the idea for my show while I was there. And the thing is, when you do radio, the first thing they tell you, and this was the greatest advice I've ever gotten, if you are going to be the next Howard Stern, get out. Get out right now. We don't want you. We want you to be you. And that hit me. That was like, you know what? Yeah, no, I don't want to be Howard Stern. I don't even like Howard Stern. I don't want to be opening anything. I don't want to be like these shock jock guys. I want to be me. I want to have fun. And from then on, I tried getting into radio. And some people, not all, but some people, if you don't do what they do or that what they tell you to do, they don't want to help you. That irks me a lot. I'm a very big into, hey, come on, let's do this together type of thing, you know? So for me, that's where I came up with the idea of my show, The Sully Show. And it's changed names here and there, but, you know, The Sully Show just kind of worked. And I didn't have a place to broadcast from. You know, yeah, we've got Twitch and we got all these other different online streaming companies now. But before that, there was using Yahoo Messenger, Stick'em, Ustream. Ustream is still around, but now it's owned by IBM. But there weren't a lot of video and audio streaming apps out there. Well, they were still on DSL. And I guess there was just, I want to say, like, maybe Stick'em featured me at one point in time, because I was on, like, every day just having fun. And I crashed their servers. I don't know how I crashed the servers, but I crashed the servers so bad that not only did Stick'em go down, but the internet at Connecticut School of Broadcasting went down too. And I went, that's cool. Like, how many people could say they did that? Okay. But at the same time, it was kind of working out to my advantage where, you know what? I don't want to use internet that doesn't work. So I started just buying equipment here and there. I spent $170 on a studio mic and a mixer. Now I've got computers left and right. So, you know, it adds up. I think I have like maybe $6,000 to $7,000 worth of equipment here in my home studio, in my basement, where I can just do this whenever, wherever I want, you know? So I wasn't set to stone. Like, this is where the creative part comes in. And I'm like, all right, you know. So after a year, I was still trying to get into radio. I was still trying to get a job in broadcasting, anything that I could, because you know what? You gotta pay the bills. So I went back to school to get my associates. It was fun. Not gonna lie. I had a great time at school. And it's mostly because I had already went before back in 2001. So, I mean, this is like 10 years, almost 12 years before I actually went back from total between 9/11 and then Connecticut School of Broadcasting, then Naugatuck Valley. So there was a big gap And then I still couldn't find any work. Like, you've got to be kidding me.
When are things going to give,
you know? So it was different. It was culture shock, I guess you could say, because I still come out smiling every day, and that's all that matters to me.
So after you got your associate's degree and you had a hard time getting a job, why did you choose to go get your bachelor's in communication and media production, already knowing that the job market was going to be a hard one to get into?
That is a great and easy question. The answer to that is must have bachelor's. Every application must have a bachelor's degree. Bachelor's degree needed. Bachelor's degree required, but not necessary, which means you need a bachelor's degree. Every single application was like that. Do you have a bachelor's?
No, I have an associate's.
But I have years experience. That's not what they want to see. That's not what the computers these days look for. They want to see, do you have a bachelor's degree? Yes, I do. Where? From here. When did you get it? This year. Perfect. Then they may look at you.
When you were getting your bachelor's degree at Western Connecticut State University, did you live on campus?
I did not. I couldn't afford it. I was unemployed. I had a girlfriend at the time. We were living together. You know, I was doing odds and end jobs to help pay the bills because, you know, got to do what you got to do in order to eat, right? So I commuted from Bristol, Connecticut to Danbury every single day. Traffic sucked.
Yes, I actually to live near Danbury, and I did take some classes at WestCon, so I am very familiar with that university.
It's cool. I mean, you know, yep. The university was great. I had a great time while I was there. The commute just sucked, and there were days where I'm just like, I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock, and I'm just going to go, you know, because I didn't want to sit in traffic.
Yes, I'm very familiar with traffic in Danbury.
It's horrible, especially at the exit 11 to 8. Pain in the ass.
Yes. So far through all of your college, you had a hard time finding a job. After you get your bachelor's degree, did you still have a hard time finding your job, or did you then decide, oh, screw it, I'm going to go out on my own?
I'm always looking for any type of production work. Doesn't matter if I'm doing it or not. It's what I do. I love doing this stuff. I love doing audio recordings. I love doing podcasts. I love live streaming. It's my niche. I love post-production editing. I love writing scripts and making movies and all that stuff. So I'm always doing that. Now, with that being said, there comes a little term with college where you have to start paying your student loan. And depending on the loan, you have usually about 6 months from when you graduate to start paying it. So I had to get a job. I couldn't find one. It was still really hard to find a job. So I went to a temp agency. It turned out that the hospital right up the hill from me, Bristol Hospital, needed help. And the temp agency got me the job. And I'm like, great. How long is it for? It's for as long as they need you. Awesome. 5 years later, I was still working there because I got to pay the bills. And I will say this. I had a very good time working. I don't normally talk about my older jobs just because of the position that I was in. There's a lot of hush-hush with that. Confidentiality. So I stick with that. But I met a lot of great people that helped me hone my, not just my interviewing skills, but my resume and my, you know, the paperwork side of things. I needed the job. And then, of course, you know, my girlfriend was now my wife and we had a baby on the way. So kind of had to pay the bills for the kid. Had to buy a house. Had to deal with life and adulting. Ugh. Adulting is such a dirty word. But that's what
I mean. So usually when you think of people working in entertainment, you think of people living in Los Angeles or you think of people living in New York City. How difficult is it to be in the entertainment industry living in Connecticut?
Well, that is a very good question. So I'm going to give you two answers. Do you want the sarcastic answer or the nice answer?
The sarcastic one.
Yeah. I love the sarcastic one. Freaking sucks. That's what it is. Horrible. Listen, there's not much when it comes to the entertainment world in Connecticut. You have ESPN, you have NBC. Yeah, there was Blue Sky Studios for computer animated movies, which is still here in Connecticut, but Disney owns them now.
Yay. So when it comes to that, you kind of have to go with the smaller outlets, which is your local news channels. I can tell you, trying to get a job at ESPN, it is doable, but it's like trying to get into Fort Knox. You need to know somebody and know somebody high in order to do it. Or let your work speak for yourself and they tell you, oh, I'm sorry, you're too creative. Just saying. So it's difficult. It's very difficult. But now, in the year 2020, where COVID-19 is running amok, I can tell you that doing your own thing will make you a much happier person. This is the perfect time for live streaming. Think about it. You don't have to go anywhere. Case in point, this podcast, we're doing it remotely. I'm in my house. The two of you are where you are. Think about it. Podcasting on a dime, play video games with your friends, board games, you name it. You can do anything from a live stream these days and make money at it.
And it's perfect social distancing in the age of COVID.
Yeah, don't get me started on that. But you're right. It is an online streamer's dream right now. If you're an introvert, this is for you. Come up with a topic and have some fun with your friends remotely. I know a lot of people who did game nights remotely. They'd get a game for their Nintendo or their Xbox and PlayStation, send their friends a code, do a Zoom meeting, and everybody was playing on their phones, having a great time. Right on the internet.
We did a virtual bingo night with my son and his friends.
See, there you go.
Called out numbers and they played bingo.
There you go. And that's the thing. When you've got somebody sitting down at home for 8 hours a day, because one, they got laid off or furloughed or whatever, and they just haven't gotten work yet. And they're playing video games for thousands of people right from their own house. And these people are donating money to these people or subscribing to their channels for like $4.99 or whatever the heck they set it at. It's a job. You have a career now. It's not going to happen overnight. It takes a lot of work to do that, but it's the perfect opportunity for people to start doing that. Perfect opportunity.
I am a Ms. Pac-Man lover, so maybe I can start my own thing playing Ms. Pac-Man for everyone.
Why not? Why not? If you can see the potential, you can do whatever you want. That's the beauty of things.
So you mentioned that the idea for the Sully Show came during when you were going to college. How did the Sully Show, the whole thing, like how did that come about? Like how did you put it all together?
Oh, I apparently have a lot to say. If you haven't noticed within the amount of time this podcast is, I don't shut up. And that's one of the things that my wife hates is that I don't shut up. I have a lot to say. My idea was, I've heard all the shock jocks, I've heard all the talk shows and regular radio and music interruptions and news and all of that. And I said, you know what? Why can't we just have a show where it's three guys just shooting the shit, you know, having a great time. Hey, do you read that article about whatever? Yeah, let's talk about that for a little bit. You know, hey, the one thing that I despise is politics. I hate politics. I hate talking about politics. So we try to do one of those shows where it's more comedy driven. So if you hear something, there's going to be a reboot of The Mummy. Oh, God, don't get me started on The Mummy. They're trying to do it again. I can't believe this. We would talk about it, but we'd make it fun. It started off as just one of those regular radio talk shows with music. And I, no joke, have gone through 7 different co-hosts, 7 since I started. The show itself is about 13, 14 years old now. And we always have new material to talk about, whether it's movies, because, you know, let's face it, new movies coming out every 3 months. So you've always got the trailers. We're huge comic book and Nintendo and other video game geeks. Except for my co-host JT, he's a little old-fashioned. He's 10 years older than us, and we call him the old man redneck.
So does he talk about Atari?
We do, actually. We do talk about Atari. But he also knows like the regular Nintendo and the Sega Genesis and stuff like that. But it's not his forte to bring it up. He'll add to it if he needs to. And I've never met the guy in person.
And you've never met him?
He's in Indiana.
Why?
He's been doing the show with me over Skype for the last 15 years. Never met him.
couldn't really afford to go out to Indiana and meet him.
But we talk on a regular basis. It's crazy, right?
You can meet in the middle, start driving.
But see, that's the thing, because I have a young little Jedi is what I call her. She's my miracle. And I never really use her name when I'm doing my show. I just call her Little Jedi, the letter to everybody know my kid is being a pain in the ass or whatever. We've just never been able to actually meet in person. We were on the same radio station called Hua Radio. I got no problem saying the name because the radio is now gone. It doesn't exist anymore. I was the number one rated show on that internet radio station. Hundreds of people were tuning in every single day. And I'm a very big person when it comes to censorship. I don't like censorship, but there are other ways to say certain things. And unfortunately, the owner of the radio station tried to censor me because I made an opinion about a guest that had been on the day before who had a brand new album coming out full of Christmas music. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of Gary Hoey, but he's a great rock and roll guitarist. The stuff that he can shred on a guitar is just amazing. However, I'm not a big fan of heavy metal Christmas music. It just doesn't really go well. Yeah, you could play it to your little heart content, but to me, in my opinion, not the radio station's opinion, my opinion, it just doesn't go hand in hand. But he's still an amazing guitarist. And I said that live on the air, in front of everybody. And then all of a sudden, he's having a shouting match with me over the phone. How can you disrespect our guest like that? What's wrong with you? You did it live on the air. I'm like, not only did I do it live on the air, but I recorded it. And then he had the nerve to tell me, I did tours in the Gulf War. You need to respect me. And I went, all right, time out. Hold it right there. I respect that you went into the military and you fought for our country just like I went into the military. The difference is I don't demand respect for being in the military. If they want to give me the respect for being in the military, that's on them. They don't need to know, I went into the military and you need to respect me. And that was it. I pulled my show off the station and they lost everybody. Just everybody. My motto is if I'm doing a show and I make you laugh once just to forget about what's going on, that is more important to me than the amount of listeners I have. It's more important to me than the amount of downloads I have, because I'm making that one person, I don't care who they are, feel good and just forget about life for 2 hours every week.
Well, that is very important. People need to let go and settle down, enjoy part of life.
Absolutely. And that's what we strive for. We strive for the comedy aspect of it. We strive to tell the jokes. And the three of us, all three of us have served in the military. My co-host Adam is a former paratrooper who just retired last year. JT was in not only the first Gulf War, but he did tours in Germany, got hurt in a tank accident years before. So we're all vets, and vets pick on each other. We crack the jokes. We make fun of each other, but at the same time, we are brothers. And that's what people really need to know is, yeah, we may be from different families. We may be from different parts of the military, but we're brothers. We have fun. We love the same stuff. We're just like you guys. We have fun. And if you're having fun, that's more important than anything in my book.
Well, so far I'm having fun during this podcast. I don't know about you.
I'm having a great time. I mean, I feel like I'm talking more than you guys, so I apologize. If you know, you just tell me to shut up and I'll shut up.
No, we like listening to you. But seeing that you brought up your listeners, how did you develop a listener base of over 2,000 listeners in less than 6 months? And how many listeners do you have now?
Oh, I don't even know.
Is it that big? Can we not count that high? What's going on?
No, it's more of... So when... The problem with me keeping track with numbers is that I'm constantly doing everything else. And it took this wonderful pandemic to kind of kick my co-host's butts into gear to help me out a little bit, because I went 3 months without doing a show. The boys continued to do the show because they were able to, but my hours changed from my job where I couldn't do the show. Now I'm back to more of a routine so I can do them. When it comes to live, I really don't
try to keep track of who's watching live. And that's more because we break the fourth wall so much that if there's something that goes on during the production of the show, I call myself out on it. I'm like, listen, I'm an idiot. I broke something. Like, I got no problem doing that. But it's too hard for me to keep track of everything while I'm running the board, video, other audio, making sure the audio is working on my co-hosts. And because, like I said, we're doing it remotely. One's up in South Windsor, Connecticut. One's in Indiana. And I'm here in Bristol. So, you know, yeah, my friend Adam is a little bit closer. But at the same time, it's still really hard to keep track of everybody's equipment from where I'm sitting. Plus, I'm doing camera angles. I'm doing, somebody calls in for our phone call that we have where people can actually interact with us. It's just really hard for me to determine how many people are listening or watching live and downloading. I just don't care. Like, I don't care about the number. I just care that you guys come back and have fun. That's all I care about.
So for somebody who's looking to start their own podcast, what's the best way to get people to listen to your
Twitter,
show?
Facebook, and start with your friends and family. Because if they don't support you, you don't support them. That's what I'm saying. My parents actually listen to my show every couple of weeks, mostly because, you know, life gets in the way. They know I do it. And they know I put it on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Periscope. I just basically broadcast it wherever I can. And I say that, start with your friends and family. Hey guys, I got a brand new podcast about selling glue. People will listen. You know, I would love to say people won't listen to that, but people will listen. Oh, but I love the paranormal. Great. What about it? Talk about it. Set it up. Do it. Get a buddy. Get a couple of microphones that you can buy for $50 on Amazon and set it up. I'm talking to you on a $50 microphone right now. Do it. Everybody, this is the one thing that I told a coworker of mine. What is the one thing everybody has in common today? What do you think it is? What's the one thing?
We all have to wear masks.
Well, that's besides the point. But what's the one thing that every single person has in common today in the technology age of thinking? And I guarantee you, the two of you have probably checked it multiple times while we've been recording.
Social media?
A cell Bingo. Phone?
I didn't check it at all, actually.
Yay!
I've been
but
good.
That's what everybody has in common, which means everybody is connected and everybody can hear you, whether you're recording later, recording earlier, doing live and then posting it later like we are. Everybody can hear it all by clicking a link in your hand. I grew up on the Commodore 64 computer, folks. There was no internet then. But that's the one thing. Everybody's got a smartphone.
Technology.
Everybody. You can click an RSS feed and it automatically gets downloaded to your phone or to your computer without you even being near it. So do it. Just do it. You got something? Do it. Well, that's the thing. Technology. I mean, you can broadcast live anywhere at any time. Most people have unlimited data now on their cell phone.
I know. We could go Facebook Live right now if we wanted to.
Absolutely. You could.
You mentioned that your job, which is not the Sully Show, your other job, the hours have been crazy. What do you do besides your radio show?
I am in tech support. So I help when the customers call up, I help fix their problem.
Oh, that's very useful. Yes, I love tech support. Yeah, we might need it. We might be calling you.
I can't get this download of the podcast to work correctly. What do I do?
Well, are you using Adobe Audition or are you using Audacity? Brings me to the point of, you know, if people wanted to start a podcast, there are a lot of free programs out there that you can use. Audacity is one of them. I will absolutely back that up. For me, not only did I learn on Audacity, but I also learn on Adobe Audition. For me, I just automatically go for my Adobe Audition and I do what I got to do. I'm just used to it. That's the program that I use. Most radio, that's what they use. Audio production, they'll use Pro Tools. That's expensive. But if you're just starting out with a podcast and you want to get Adobe Audition, you want to learn it, you don't really have to go to school for it. YouTube is a wealth of information that nobody uses.
I use it.
It's also a wealth of stupid videos. Hence my favorite bit, Dumbass of the Week.
So we noticed that you're also a freelance media specialist. Yes. What exactly do you do?
Everything. When it comes to 3D graphics, Photoshop, recordings like this, voiceovers, writing scripts, working on some films. I've got about 6 or 7 film scripts that I've been writing. So, you know, I'll stop one and then go to the other when I get writer's block. But basically anything when it comes to media, and I love doing it. It's fun for me. I'll be the first one to tell you, if you're not having fun at your job, then it's not a good job. Find something that you're going to have fun doing and work your ass off to get there.
So your job should be fun, but you also need to make money at it.
Absolutely.
Is the entertainment industry or your Sully show becoming a lucrative career?
I would like it to. I really would. I would like it to. I think I should do more promoting-wise. But as the old saying goes, in order to make money, you need to spend money. If you don't have the money to spend, you got to find other ways to do it.
Throughout your media career, what have been some of your largest or biggest struggles?
The whole thing. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to play, you know, hey, it's been this. No, it's been everything. Like I said earlier, when it came to finding a job, part of it was experience. Well, how do you get experience if they're not going to give you the job? It's hard. It's a very hard industry to get into. But at the same time, and we've been seeing it over, I want to say maybe the last 10 years or so, it's starting to get a little easier. And here's why. More and more companies, whether they're big or small, are using video and audio. They don't know what they're doing. They need people like me who knows how to edit video, who knows how to do 3D graphics, who knows how to do animated transitions, who knows Photoshop for graphic design. More and more people are doing that. And there's more and more websites where you can do it. I don't like promoting websites, so especially on guest podcasts, but look up websites where you can do that. And yeah, you can make a good career out of it. I'm transitioning into voiceovers. I love doing voiceovers. If you haven't been able to tell yet, I can actually speak very well. I just can't get my thoughts out right. Hence why I have a podcast every Tuesday. But I'm starting to get into not just voiceovers for commercial work, but for audiobooks. There's websites for audiobooks. If you don't believe me, there's a little company you may have heard of called Amazon. Everybody. And there's a distribution center right around the corner from my house. It's just a little company. You might have heard of it. Maybe just a little. But what's one of the stuff that they sell? Audiobooks.
I think everybody's heard of Amazon.
I love audiobooks because most of my family is out of state in Massachusetts. So driving there and back to visit so we can all listen to something in the car, it kills the time. And then that way they're not sitting there on their devices the whole
time. Yeah, absolutely. That was the beauty of what kind of put me into doing audiobooks, where I'm not a big reader. I'm not. I hate reading. Unless it's an author that I love. Like, I love Stephen King. I love Clive Cussler, who just passed away, I want to say, end of last year, maybe beginning of this year. Love his novels. But that's it. I only really have 2 major authors that I love. But if I see a book and I read the premise of it, I go, you know what? This might actually be good. I'll get it. I'll pick it up and I'll read it. And then it takes me forever and a day to read it. But I had so much fun recording my first audiobook that I'm like, hey, this is great. What's the next project? Let's do another one. Because I didn't feel like I was under pressure to record it. And apparently I read faster when I'm reading out loud. So for me, reading it by myself, I'm just flipping through the pages and going, okay, oh, I'm only 3 pages in. This feels like I've read the whole chapter already. But when I was doing this audiobook, all of a sudden I'm 100 pages in. And I'm like, holy crap, it's only been 2 days. This is great. Let's do some more. It's jump-starting me to do more. And now I'm starting to become a reader because it's going to make me some extra dough. So
now, let's get personal.
Bring it on.
All right. I have 2 things. One, I would like you to give us some more examples of some voiceovers that you do. And 2, I was listening to something that you said earlier today, and I want to know what your problem is with Seinfeld.
With Seinfeld? I love Seinfeld.
No, you said you weren't a fan.
Of Seinfeld? No, I love Seinfeld.
Did your co-host say he wasn't a fan? One of you said you weren't a fan.
Probably JT. I don't think he was a very big fan of Seinfeld.
You were talking about how much money they've gotten paid for their shows.
I don't think that was me. I think that was JT. That might have been JT. It might have been JT only because I mean, he gets the references, but I just don't think he actually watched Seinfeld when it was on the air. And granted, you know, Seinfeld was on the air in the 90s and early 2000s and then it went off the air. But I love Seinfeld. If I can catch a rerun of it, I'm like, all right, Seinfeld's on. My wife, on the other hand, she does not like Seinfeld. That's okay. Her prerogative. But at the same time, they are real and they are spectacular. Okay? I'm just putting it out there. And no soup for you.
I say that to my children and they have no idea what I'm talking about.
No soup for you. What are you talking about, Ma? What are you talking about? What do you mean there's no soup for me? You didn't even cook soup. I get that way when somebody hasn't seen a movie. Yeah, a friend of mine has never seen Dazed and Confused. And I just looked at her. I'm like, what? What do you mean you've never seen Dazed and Confused? What? Well, I just never really had the opportunity to watch it. And I just, it is what it is. I'm not a big Matthew McConaughey fan. Great. You're not a Matthew. What about Ben Affleck? Are you a Ben Affleck fan? He's in that too. I'm like, trust me. Before you graduate high school, you got to watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Dazed and Confused, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Those three movies, you will be set for life.
My sons do not need to watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off. My youngest is giving me a run for my money. He does not need any ideas.
Well, that's what my mother said, and I did it anyway.
So have you happened to have met any famous actors or actresses while you were working in the entertainment industry?
I actually have. I can tell you this. This is an absolute true story. Ernest Borgnine. Everybody knows who Ernest Borgnine is. He won the Oscar for Marty, was in Airwolf, McHale's Navy. My wife is actually related to him.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Now, with that being said, the story goes like this. We just started dating and it's our first Christmas together. We go to her grandfather's house. And I don't really think anything of it. I don't really believe that they're, related. However, my wife's mother, her maiden name is Borgnine. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe they're cousins, whatever. Well, it turns out that her grandfather and Ernest Borgnine are actually first cousins. So I walk in the door and we're talking. We're having, the holiday hoopla that everybody does on Christmas with food and all that. And sure enough, on the door, taped, is a Christmas card with Ernie and his wife, Tova. Merry Christmas to her grandfather. And not more than 15 minutes later, the phone rings. And him and Ernie are talking on the phone. And I went, well, son of a bitch. I can't believe it. Holy shit, they're actually related. A year and a half later, Ernie was actually in Connecticut on vacation because the family's still here in Connecticut. And this is a true story now. The weekend he was here, he invited everybody out to dinner. Boyfriends, husbands, wives, children, everybody. He wanted to see everybody. At the time, I was DJing. And I had to DJ that night. And I went, no! Because for someone who's a film buff like me, that would have been a dream to just have dinner with him and talk with him. Well, fast forward to that day, and he actually invited my wife, her sister, and myself over to the house that they were at in the afternoon to spend a couple of hours with him. And my God, it was the greatest 2 to 3 hours that I've ever spent talking with somebody. Because it wasn't just one of those, oh, I did this and I did that. It was me actually asking him questions. If I had a recorder to record what we talked about, my God, it would have been the greatest 2 to 3 hour podcast ever.
because he went into so many details about when he filmed Escape from New York and doing Mermaid Man from SpongeBob SquarePants. And it was just so amazing. He told us all the deep, dark, dirty secrets of Airwolf and the cast and who screwed up what to, you know, basically get the show taken off the air. When he worked with Tom Arnold with McHale's Navy and how much of a dick he is. True story. He actually said that. I even got to the point where I said to him, I said, you know, a couple of years ago, you did a movie called Small Soldiers. He goes, yeah. I said, what was it like getting back together with your castmates from the Dirty Dozen to do the voices for these characters? And he just leaned over and he goes, you saw that fucking movie too? I'm like, I own it. He was just amazing. And from there, I had a whole new look on some Hollywood, not all Hollywood, but some Hollywood. Because let's face it, Hollywood's going to implode in on itself eventually. But the conversation, it wasn't just a star-struck Sully with Ernest Borgnine, Oscar winner. It was, this is my wife's second cousin. You'd never know he was an actor unless you knew him. Because he was just sitting there, button-down shirt, chilling out, just enjoying life.
So did he get an invitation to your wedding?
Unfortunately, he passed away before our wedding.
Oh.
Otherwise, he would have. Because I would have been like, dude, you got to come and party with us, man. I'm just saying. Just putting it out there. An Irish, Italian, Canadian wedding, drunk people all around, okay? Just drunk people all around. Yeah. But it would have been great. I would have loved to have had him at my wedding. That would have been fantastic. A star came to my wedding. Ha ha, what can you say? I'd be rolling all over that.
You're supposed to be more excited about getting married, not about the potential star.
I was excited of getting married. I got so... But he was probably the coolest person that I had ever met. He was just so awesome. He really was.
So you have to tell me, out of all your weekly dumbass clips, which one's your favorite?
Well, to say I have two favorites. And the only reason why I have two favorites is because they are just so stupid that you can't really put them both in like one category. They have to have their two different categories. So the first one, and this I would say this would be my number two out of the two of them, was Crazy Mike. Crazy Mike, that was his name. Crazy Mike. Crazy Mike did stunts, his own stunts. He jumped off things. Ooh, ah. Well, Crazy Mike decided that he was going to do a stunt where he was going to go up on top of a soda machine and do a backflip and land on his feet on concrete. He missed. He landed flat on his face. But that's not the dumb part. That's the stupid part. This is where Ron White's You Can't Fix Stupid comes in. Because a year later, after all the training, after all the practicing, after all the flips off of the size of a soda machine, after all the flips onto pads, just to make sure that he got the curve and the spin and everything he needed, not only did he land flat on his face, but he broke his face. He broke his collarbone. He broke his leg. He broke his ribs. All in one shot. Nope. According to the television show that he was on where they aired it, no, third time will not be a charm. So in this case, too, he learned his lesson. That brings me to my number one. And this one is by far the greatest I've ever come across. And we've had some doozies. But this one just knocks it out of the park. Now, I want to say about 10 years ago, four friends driving in a car. Great. They're having a great time. Taillight is out. Cop sees them. Taillight's out. Puts his lights on. The car does not stop. They speed away, giving chase. All for a taillight being out. Now, with that being said, the chase spanned a good couple of miles and ended when the driver crashed the car into a telephone pole. Two of the friends were stuck in the car in the back seat, and the driver and the passenger got out and ran. Not only did they get out and run, but they ran to a fence with barbed wire. They climbed the fence, climbed over the barbed wire, got cut up, and they were in a wonderful field. Now, before I give away what was in that field, I would like to explain why they ran. Aside from the taillight being broken, crashing the car into a telephone pole, the driver had a suspended license. So the worst that they were going to do is they were going to take away the car and, you know, send him on his way, or maybe arrest him and then get out on bail for pretty cheap. But because he gave chase, he fled an officer, which made it worse for him. But that's not where the stupidity comes in. Remember that barbed wire fence I told you about where they climbed over? That barbed wire fence was the outer perimeter fence for the field of an all-female prison. Yep. The two of them jumped into an all-female prison and were locked up. That is my absolute favorite one. And will always be my favorite one. Because when I read that, I just went, "You dumbass." I said it so loud that my wife at the time was like, "What are you laughing at?" I'm like, "You gotta read this. This is great." And I read it out loud to her.
So what does your family think of your voiceover work, your work with audiobooks, and the Sully
Keeps
Show?
Keeps me out of trouble. That's what my wife will say. And then she'll also say, "I'm not watching them." We have a very loving relationship. We really do. I love my wife. She loves me. My wife has been backing me up since pretty much day one. So she'll continue to back me up, which is really cool. As for my little Jedi, well, she's 4. So she wants to be a part of things past her bedtime, and it just doesn't work out that way. She always wants to be on Daddy's show. "Daddy, can I be on your show? I want to be on the microphone and sing." "No, you can't be on the show, sweetie. It's bedtime. It's time to go to sleep." I think when she's a little older, things will be a little different, but she knows I do it, which is good. And even when she was little, so she's got a lot of medical issues, so when we finally got her home and everything and she was growing up, and she wasn't going to bed on time at one point in time until we finally said, "Nope, that's it. 7:30 bedtime." So she would always come on the microphone and go, and I'm like, "Okay, talk, kiddo, talk." Eating the microphone. I'm like, "Come on. All right, done. You're done. Go upstairs. Goodbye. Bye, everybody. Bye." Now forget it. Now she'll tell like stories until you're blue in the face and going, "What'd you just say? What? I don't get it, kid. I don't get it."
I mean, she could have her own show.
That's the goal. That's the goal. I figure it this way. With what I'm doing now, I'm really trying to do for her. Like, you know, she most people will say, "Oh yeah, the kids are a parent's inspiration." And I will absolutely say, yes, that's true. Because really, you want to take care of your kids. You want to take care of the future. Some people don't deserve it, but kids, they do. And it's mostly because you want them to take care of you when you are old and gray and can't do anything anymore. But that's besides the point.
So for anyone who wants to get into the entertainment industry, you know, the voiceovers, the radio show, not the other kind of entertainment industry, what advice would you give them?
What's the matter? You don't want them to get into...
I mean, that's their prerogative, but I don't know that you have a lot of insight on that. And if you do...
It pays. That's all I know.
If you do, you might, your wife might not want to know, so you got to keep that under wraps.
No, she would probably say, "Well, where's all the money from it?"
What advice would you give anyone that wants to get into the entertainment industry?
All right, so the joke would be don't do it. But in reality, if that's what you want to do and you have a goal, set more goals to get there and do it. Learn. Listen and learn. Don't be one of those people where, you know, you go to school and you read from a textbook and you think you know it. No, no. Practice. Practice, practice, practice. Practice. There's a reason that I talk the way I do. practice. I've been doing this for 15 years. I'm surprised nobody has told me to shut up. But do it. Set goals and do it. If you want to start like your own podcast, and believe me, podcasts can be a career. More and more companies are starting to do company podcasts and stuff like that. They're going to need people that knows how to do it. Do it. Practice. There are so many ways to do it. YouTube is great for getting advice on that. YouTube is also great for training. And at the same time, if talking on a microphone is hard for you or you're afraid to do it, think of it this way. You're talking to your best friend on the phone. That's how a lot of these podcasts start, with their friends. You never know. Just do it. Just do it.
Would you ever train anyone to do what you do?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
See, you might have a side hustle there.
Well, now, side hustle, bring it on. I've always been one of those people where I like helping others. So if anybody wanted to learn from me about talking on a microphone, okay, I'll teach you. I'll teach you the right way to do it. You know? Because I have the skill to do that. I don't shut up.
I haven't noticed.
What? No, come on. Ask away and you'll get an answer. Whether it's long-winded or yes.
Well, that was our last question, so we're wrapping up the show.
It was such a great time. I'm not going to lie.
We do want to thank you, Matt, for coming on our show and offering all this valuable insight in how to succeed or semi-succeed in the entertainment industry. I really enjoyed listening to your show, and I know that our listeners will too. We are all about humans helping humans, and we hope that you will join us again on another episode.
Whenever you want.
And please support Matt by listening to The Sully
That's
Show.
That's right. Hey, if you want to check us out, we're on Twitter at The Sully Show, as well as at Accidental Punch. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/The Sully Show and facebook.com/Accidental Punch. And of course, you can always watch our show on twitch.tv/Accidental Punch on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Here's to another informative episode of College Talks and More.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Subscribe to our podcast and YouTube channel to stay up to date on any new episodes.
Check out our blog and be an insider to receive our newsletters so you can follow anything and everything College Talks and My Book Heart.